This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Tuesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And it is National Beer Day. It's Beer Day.
Oh,
all right. I know the mustache celebrates.
That's right. Is he celebrating already? That's the real.
Well, it is afternoon. I don't know.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
It is 5 o'clock somewhere. It's also International Beaver Day, which I'm assuming Oregon is celebrating like crazy.
I would think so. Everybody's got to have their beaver flags out flying right now, right?
Right. Right. As animals, beavers are pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
They're industrious little creatures. And they're pretty cool. So it's also Metric System Day. Don't care. Not in Europe. I don't care.
Yeah. And I remember when I was in high school, this push that, you know, we just need to go to the metric system. Everything needs to be metric. We need to be like the rest of the world. And I'm going, so there was step one in making America the rest of the world.
Right. And all of us rebelled and we're like, didn't we fight a war? Wasn't there a revolutionary war so we didn't have to be like Europe? I'm sticking with my inches and feet.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much.
It's so much easier to measure with my feet. I can just walk. Come on.
I just got a text from the mustache. Woohoo, crack a tube, mate. So there you go.
There it is. It's already begun. At least we know he's listening.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so first of all, let's jump in real quick. This story popped up. We got to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It popped up just before, and I know it's a little bit off track, but this bothered me on so many levels. This is in a community group, a Salem-Kaiser community group, and I'm not going to give names or anything like that because this is a parent reporting suspicious activity at Riverfront Park like about an hour or so ago, and it was about this guy that's there, and she's got a picture of him, and she didn't like the way he was looking at her kid, her 20-month-old daughter. And again, this is a public post. We're not sharing names. She said a lot of parents didn't seem to notice it. It was really kind of bothering her. She tried to warn some people that were heading into the park. She said she yelled at him to stop. He wouldn't do it. She said he kind of looked kind of ashamed when she said something. But the key here right now, she said her mom intuition. So her gut was telling her something's not right about this. So she posted it to share to other mothers. Now, first of all, I'm applauding this woman. Always trust your gut. Always trust your mama gut. For certain. There's a picture of this guy. He's in kind of a sweatshirt and he, a little sketchy standing by the door, whatever. It's the comments that in this are coming, like maybe he has a disability, maybe he's autistic, maybe he's making weird eye contact. So this mom is coming out and saying, this is something that is making me very uncomfortable. My gut is yelling at me that something's not right. I'm trying to warn you. So many other women are chiming in here, making excuses for the guy.
Well, so I go to a number of aspects of the story because having young family members who could be out at a playground playing on a day like today, I'm sitting here kind of going, one, the fact that this mother seems to be the primary person noticing this and all of the any other parents around aren't noticing this person or at least not acknowledging that they're noticing that she's having to tell them this guy is kind of being a creep. Number two, if they were autistic or had a learning disability or a mental challenge or anything like that, when a mama bear walks up or makes comment to somebody of, hey, quit looking at my kid.
Yeah.
Even autistic people, mentally challenged people, they don't want the confrontation. They will turn and they will walk away. They will, at least kind of remove themselves from that situation the majority of the time because they're not wanting to engage in a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here going, to make that kind of excuse is so short-sighted and so ignorant and explains why we have so many challenges today where moms should be going, I have your back.
Yeah.
This behavior shouldn't be allowed, whether it's a mental challenge or just a creeper.
This to me is a perfect example of suicidal empathy. You know, they've got all these people coming in here going, and you know, if the guy does have mental challenges or autistic, okay, those are things to feel. But if you've again got a woman, got a mom who's got this feeling, she's trying to warn you. The sort of the shaming aspect of these posts is really interesting. One commenter said, "Predators prey on your compassion for misunderstanding them," and she says, "I think you're right to say something." We all have what Gavin De Becker, which is a great book, and if you haven't read it, The Gift of Fear. If your gut is telling you that something is not right, first of all, this woman was right to notice and probably maybe should leave if she's not comfortable there. There's no calling the police because somebody's making you uncomfortable. You don't have anything like that. But you remove yourself from the situation. It just that too many people, we're the only species, the only mammal that would actually get into an elevator with someone who was making us feel uncomfortable and potentially go put ourselves at risk because we didn't want the other person. We didn't want to be rude. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to be rude, and it's okay to be rude. And if she was rude to this guy by calling him out and saying something, I think she's well within her rights to do that and was not wrong to do that.
No, I 100% agree. And I would hope that, you know, I go back to, you know, we talk about, you know, the feral child upbringing that a lot of us went through where,
right? You
know, maybe you weren't, you know, one generation, it was like you're two towns over. The next generation, you're, you know, down at the schoolyard, you know, you're not, you know, as we grew up, we weren't given as long a leash as time passed. And these creepers became more of an issue.
I had no leash.
Yeah.
My generation had no leash.
But I sit here and go, this is why I couldn't, you know, with a good conscience, sit here and let my daughters go down by themselves and play at a park, because I would hope that other parents would be aware of the surroundings enough so a kid can be pointed out, hey, stay away from that person, that area, this, that, or call out somebody that's acting creepy if my kids were there. You know, I'm not going to send my 2-year-old that way, but,
right. You
know, maybe with her sisters kind of a thing. And I'm kind of going, the idea of they talk about all the time, you know, community. We need the community to raise kids and this and that.
Exactly.
And
going,
but here's a prime example of the community shutting their eyes and not wanting to be a part of raising and protecting
literally
other
somebody
kids.
Literally somebody coming. This is the stupidest thing. Delete the post. Why?
No.
Why is her just letting people know that she saw this and then somebody suggesting call the non-emergency line, which, yeah, I've called the non-emergency line in the past. I haven't had to deal with something like this. Basically, what I would do is I would leave the park. But that also is annoying to me because it's my park.
Yep.
So and also training our kids to have that gift of fear and to trust the instincts that God gave us when that small, still voice says something's not right here and I'm uncomfortable. Your job as a mom is protect those babies, protect those children. So I found this disappointing to see the majority of the reaction is really kind of pushing back on this mom who I think actually did hey, heads up, just be aware. This guy's here. He made me uncomfortable. Don't know the story. Frankly, don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, I get so frustrated that they want to shame the mother for putting this out there and drawing attention to it. We live in a state that is happy to change the language from a child predator to a MAP, a minor attracted person. I'm sitting there going,
exactly.
How sick is that in this state?
Right.
And then you want to shame the people that are willing to point out bad behavior or creepy behavior, whatever, you know, descriptive word you want to use, from an adult towards a child. Do we learn nothing from the Epstein files? Come on.
Exactly. So again, I think I'm glad this woman said something. I'm sorry she felt, I'm sorry she's kind of getting this pushback here. I think she was right to acknowledge that feeling and to let people know whatever happens, happens. But sort of the broader, that suicidal empathy, you see that played out at a broader level. You see it played out on the immigration level, on the crime level, where we've turned, you know, crime victims are not the ones we should have sympathy for and show mercy to. It's the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. So that's just, to me, another part of that puzzle where, you know, the poor guy had a bad childhood. I don't care.
Well, in
if
whatever,
he's committed a crime against another human being and raped, murdered, or whatever, his childhood is of no import to me at all.
No, and I sit here and go, the other thing we need to recognize is this person is out in public at a public park. You have no reasonable assumption of privacy and not being able to put your photo out there and this and that. And it's like, when your behavior is this way, if she said something to you especially, I'm sitting there going, then that guy should be walking away. If it's all unintentional, if he's just sitting out there sleep deprived and he's got his eyes open and staring in a direction, the moment somebody says something to you, walk away. Right. His picture wouldn't be out there. The fact is she said something and he continued to linger and watch at children.
Well, it's kind of like in a civil society, if you realize if somebody says you're really kind of making everybody uncomfortable, you'd hope that they would go, oh, my gosh, that's not my intention. I'm so sorry. But that's not what happens here. Mm-hmm. And then all the sympathy is shuffled over here and not to the mom who's feeling threatened and frightened for her children.
And being chased, crazy. And being chased out of a public park that she helps pay for.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what she ultimately ended up doing. I don't know. But anyway, that struck a chord with me, and I figured it would with you too. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it will with other people. I think we need to, you know, I'm not going to name names on any of this. It's a public post. It's out there on social media. You can go check it out. But all right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
Okay, let's get off this planet for a little while. I'm sick of it.
If it was only that easy.
I know. I've been following what's happening with Artemis too, and I mean, I'm digging every minute of it. Again, grew up a kid when all this stuff was going on. I was a real little kid. I got excited about it. Did you watch the president's call to the astronauts last night?
No, I did not get a chance.
Oh my gosh. Again, President Trump. I know a lot of people. I'm always kind of sitting. It's like, oh, what's he going to say? You never know.
It's always it's going to be very uplifting, exciting. And then he's going to add some comment that you go
about him.
Yeah.
About him. And they said very nice things about it. It's like, okay. But one of the things, first, they all gave great statements. And I thought, please forgive me, I don't remember all the names. The Canadian astronaut. Mm-hmm. When he was asked about that by Trump, he gave a brilliant, diplomatic, glorious answer that if you haven't seen it, you know, you need to go watch it. He was repping for Canada. It was really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everyone was talking about astronaut Reid Weissman, who was it 2 days ago, kind of gave a bit of a talk, and it was broadcast to us all about naming a bright spot on the moon for his late wife, Carol. And of course, everyone was like, I'm not crying. Mm-hmm. Nah, there's just dust in here. So there's somebody named Jess Fields on X. B. Reid Weissman, he's a hardworking single father of two girls whose wife passed from cancer 6 years ago. And his daughter supported him becoming one of the farthest traveled human beings in history as Artemis II mission commander. This man is a great example for fathers. I think this man is spectacular. I think all four of them are spectacular. They are. I admire every one of them. They're all there because of merit. No holds barred, absolutely. But this one, I don't know. He just kind of has a special place. I think the emotion that he put into that and the emotion of everybody on the crew getting emotional about that and the fact that he is a single father and that his girls are there for him and that fathers have been so denigrated in this culture. I love seeing this man lifted up as a great example for dads.
Well, when you can see how many people can sit there and say that I turned the United States of America into a crying fit, you know, I mean
the whole world.
That's the reality of it. Here is a guy who literally wasn't, you know, he's out in space, he's farther than anyone's ever been before, and yet he can still show that you know, you can be a father and a strong father figure and an adventurer and everything else, but still have that soft emotional touch at the right time. And I know that's missing, and unfortunately the pendulum has swung so much in this country too. We want the crying, blathering, you know.
A little bit of emotion is a good thing. And it was, I've got a post over here. Matt Walsh tweeted about this too, saying the dorks who found reason to be cynical and critical about this mission look dumber by the day. And I agree. Mm-hmm. Remember, whoa, we have problems down here. And we blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
This whole thing has been so cool. The crew has been sharing the gospel the entire time. And now this moment, and he's talking about the commander Weissman, dedicating with a beautiful and touching moment to his wife. He says, if you can't be inspired by this, you're dead inside, an empty vessel. Yes.
Yep. I fully agree. And you just sit here and go, I mean, every bit of this, and you know, they took what, a 50 year break in kind of SpaceX?
53 years.
Yeah. And I just go, the fact that we are now at a point where we can follow it almost in real time, step by step, as we go through it, is so amazing and so wonderful. And it creates that excitement daily.
It does. And then Pilate Victor Glover sharing passionate words and love for Jesus Christ just a few seconds before losing communication with the earth. And they talked a little bit about that with the president last night and sort of just being awestruck. And then the images that are coming from Artemis, because they've got, I mean, like the best, if you're like a photo, what do they call them? I can't think of the name. Anyway, a photo geek or whatever, you know, the long lenses and everything is, the images that they are sending back. And then there was, they saw the eclipse and the corona behind it, and they're out in space. And then somebody asked them on the phone call if they can see stars in space. And they say there's a lot of light coming from everything. Mm-hmm. And so it's, but he said they're going to, when they're to the dark side of the moon, they're going to look. And he says, in space, the stars don't twinkle where they twinkle down here because you've got atmosphere in between us. So just the impressions and what they're sharing with everybody is, I have chills right now just thinking mm-hmm. about it and just talking about it.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those things, and you hope that it's not a once in a lifetime event. And
oh, no,
you know, they sit
not.
There and go, we're going to make sure this is occur. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say this is, yeah, mm-hmm. because they have now, that record is now broken. So there's another, and again, Matt Walsh, but another people, and I think both the mustache and I made this comment, and you and may have too, when we were watching the liftoff, and you're looking at people who were there, who were physically there. Glenn and his wife, Tanya, were there. And I don't know if they are guilty of this or not, mm-hmm. but I know so many people are. They're literally there. They can look up at this with their own eyes. And what do? They're looking through their iPhone and filming it for people that are never going to watch their video mm-hmm. instead of experiencing it. Cause it's like, you're there. Mm-hmm. What the hell are you doing? How weird is that?
Well, I just sit here and go, that's today's society. Everybody wants that viral video. It's why we have issues. I mean, you see it in this, you see it in ICE confrontations. You see it every which way where everyone's got their phone out. And rather than break up a fight or rather than experience something in their own eyes, they are so hell-bent on getting this video. I'm sitting there going, and especially down there in Florida during this launch, how many people were doing the exact same thing? You think your video is going to be any special than the guy next to you?
Right. And who wants it? It's like, oh, your fireworks videos. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to. And I have to say, I am guilty of this. Mm-hmm. When we went on our Alaska cruise, I mm-hmm. took all this video. We were on that train ride in Ketchikan or wherever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm not there and I'm filming. And I'm kicking myself now retrospectively that I should have just been looking out the window and experienced it. So I am guilty of it too. Mm-hmm. It's a habit. You think, this is so cool, I want to capture it. What I kind of did was looked over my phone and I had it going. So I wasn't looking at it through my phone, but I was recording it too. And you know what? I've never gone back and looked at those videos ever.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, you can imagine, you know, this is for memories and this and that down the road. Okay, I can live with that.
50 years from now.
Yeah. Go get yourself a GoPro, put it on your head and let it see everything you're seeing. I mean, that's, we have the technology. You can get those cool glasses now that are filming what you're seeing. There's a whole lot of options out there rather than hold your phone in front of your face and look at what's happening behind a screen.
Exactly. And it was Skagway, by the way, that cool railroad, which is awesome. And I, you know, the video that I took and everything that I was on was great. The other thing is the selfie culture thing. I don't like selfies. I always feel like I look like a big giant moon face in it. It's like there's this moon face and this thing in the background and or everyone's kind of that weird, awkward animal. It's like, did it not happen if your face isn't in front of everything? So how many pictures did we see where you see the rocket launching, but the focus of the photo is somebody's big moony face?
And that one I always laugh. It's like, look at the beautiful place I visited. Well, why do you need to be in the front of it?
And you're like, oh, you've got blackheads. You really need a little, you need some Clearasil, because that's all I'm staring at is your nose.
Yeah, I'm kind of going, you know, if you're seeing a beautiful sunset, you want to get a picture, kudos to you. If you're seeing a coastline and you want to get a picture, kudos to you. You don't need to be in the front foreground of these pictures.
And how many times there's a beautiful sunset, there's a big moon. I finally gave up because my camera phone is crappy, so I was forced to stop doing that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, again, I'm guilty of it too. You probably are too. I think we all are. But I think this is a good reminder to just dial it back a little bit.
I always get a kick out of when my kids see like the sunset as we're driving. And they grab their phone and they take a picture of the sunset. I'm going, you do realize you're doing it through a dirty car window, right?
Right. Oh, God, I've done that too on road trips. I was like, oh, there's the little Shmia from Missoula. Mm-hmm. That was the Missoula bug. There he is. He's immortalized for all eternity in my sunset picture through the windshield. Oh, that's so funny. Well, yeah, I just... I think that's a good reminder to when you're in, especially when you're there. My gosh, if you had a chance to be there to experience it, How sad.
Yeah, and that's a, yeah. You don't think there's a number of camera crews that are picking up every moment of that thing on
that's
video?
That's the other thing. Right? There's a million videos that are great. I mean, just the videos we're seeing. I saw one, and I can't even tell half of them which are real. I don't know whether they're so spectacular that we just think they're fake. There's like, you can see the Earth, and you can see the moon, and you can see the craters. The colors on the moon that are coming through in some of these pictures. So again, I hate that, you know, sometimes our faith in things being real or not, it's hard to tell. I actually run certain pictures through like, okay, Grok, is this real? I posted one and it turns out it was from 2013. So I got it wrong and I took it down because I didn't know. I'm like, wow, that's cool because somebody else posted it and so on and so on and so on. So you got to be really careful. But I think the bottom line is if you are blessed enough to be at one of these events, just experience it with your eyes.
Well, it's like... The people that are going to concerts.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
oh gosh.
How many people are literally, you paid how much to go to a Taylor Swift concert or a Sabrina Carpenter concert?
Ew.
And you're literally holding up your phone to record it. I'm going, they do music videos for a reason still. You could go online and look at them.
And is it kind of like, well, remember the old video or it didn't happen?
Yeah.
So nobody's going to believe you if you just say, I was at the Penny and Sparrow concert. I was there. I was at the, you know, Hall & Oates concert. Well, I'm dating myself. Well. I was at the Doobie Brothers concert. I was there. I know exactly where I was. I saw Hall & Oates. But if there, and see, back in the day, we didn't have video. We had our ticket stubs. That's how we proved we were there.
There you go. Now those ticket stubs are all digital. They're on the phone right there with the video that proves I was there. I'm just glad I grew up in a time where everything wasn't on video and pictures and everything else. Because, you know, those are always hard to live down later in life.
The Blue Oyster Cult concert in Paramus, New Jersey. Yeah. Thank goodness there was no video for that.
When I was in high school, it was one of the Grateful Dead's final concerts.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. We got the bottom of the hour news. There's the music. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back on the other side.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All righty. Okay, this has been hitting the news. This one is like, are you kidding me? Portland, Multnomah County. This is a tweet from Conservative in Oregon. Why should other Oregon counties bail out? Mayor Wilson's got his hand out. Things are so bad here. We just can't afford it. We've got all these problems. We got homeless problems. We got drugs and crime and everything else. Hey, Clackamas. Hey, Washington. Hey, maybe how soon before? Hey, Marion. Can you help us out here? Can you throw us a bone? Can you send us a few million, tens of millions, whatever? I mean, this is ridiculous. So he's asking Washington and Clackamas counties for millions to help fund homeless shelters. Meanwhile, they have been throwing money hand over fist at this problem for a decade or more, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so now there's not enough because they're going to, you know, they want to tax the wealthy, right? The rich, and I'm throwing up air quotes, but they're going, no, and they're moving out. They're moving over to Washington County and Clackamas County or out of the state altogether.
Yeah, and I sit here and go, this is the epitome of what we talk about in a small scale of the death spiral. You know, they literally allowed open air drug use. They allowed camping and defecating and whatever else, anywhere else, no consequences for whatever behavior the homeless challenges of Portland had. And then all of a sudden, now 30% or more of your businesses are no longer located in Portland. Your tax base is leaving. People that can afford to get out have gotten out. And now all of a sudden, well, you need more money to help the homeless as you've encouraged a larger population of homeless to come into the area because you're going to hand them everything they could ever want.
Yeah.
And you just sit here and go, and now you're going, oh, we don't have the money. Please, you guys help us out because gosh darn it, you know, your homeless obviously are coming here too.
Right. Oh, we're all in this together, like in COVID. No, we're not. I'm not in this with you. Not if you're, you know, going to stick a jab in me or make me wear a mask. We're not in this together.
We're not in this together.
We're maybe in the same ocean, but we're not in the same boat.
Yeah, when you're literally encouraging this behavior and allowing, You know, it's always funny when I go and I look at it, you know, where summer's coming up. They do Saturday markets in Portland.
Yeah.
And every Friday they go out and they clear the homeless out. They have Saturday market. And then by Sunday morning, they're all back and they let them stay there for another week. It's like, is there a better way? I like to think so.
And then God forbid you raise a concern about feeling unsafe or your children feel unsafe. The community comes out and calls you the bad guy. Yeah. Oh, wait, that's Salem. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers spent $1.57 billion on homelessness in the Portland area since 2023. And yet Oregon still ranks fourth highest in the nation for chronic homelessness. In 1 year alone, over 500 organizations got a part of $700+ million in homeless funds. What happened to it? Where'd it go? Why is the problem not decreasing? Why is it increasing? Why is it getting worse? Why?
Well, because they want it to. That's why it is referred to as the homeless industrial complex, where let's just keep pouring money into this as we're not really solving. It amazes me how many man on the street videos I have watched of Kevin Dahlgren or someone else reaching out to these homeless people and saying, when was the last time you were contacted by a help worker? And they're like, maybe once in my life. And I've been here for 7 years. And I sit here and go, you know, what are they doing with all this money they're taking?
Exactly. I mean, we talked about it, like in New York City, to, you know, fly across the nation real quick. $81,750 per homeless person, which is just like $500 higher than the median wage of the average person who's busting their butt in New York City just to afford a kind of a grody, stinky one bedroom walk up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then you ask them, what did you get for that money? Nothing. Same thing in Portland. And then over, you know, talk about not even unintended. At this point, I don't think it's unintended. It's certainly not incompetence. It's not unintended consequences. It's not stupidity. It's all choices. It's all priorities made by the powers that be, the people that are in these elected office, the Democrat socialists that sit on the Portland City Council are doing this. This is being done on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You know, really stop saying that they're dumb and they don't know what they're doing and they're stupid. They're not. They're doing this on purpose. And the real world ramifications for this are businesses and families that can and have the means to do so are getting the hell out. Another one here, case in point, Hooks It Automotive wrote, the gates are closed. The deal is dead. This is out on X again, conservative in Oregon. 20 years of loyalty, 20 years of sacrifice. In 2002, we fell in love with Portland's heart, back when it was still funky and weird in Portlandia. They built this Hooks It Automotive with grease, sweat, and a belief in this community. I traded my dream of being an architect, and et cetera. It's a long post. And they break down financial extortion, betrayal, slander, sabotage, the promises that were made to these businesses, and then every day it's crime. And it's like, well, it's just property. You have insurance for that. All the bull crap that we hear coming at these people all the time because they dare to say something, they dare to shine a light on it and speak up. And they get crapped on. It's just, it's outrageous.
Yep. Well, and of course, then we, you know, you go to where's all this money going that you're setting aside billions of dollars to help homeless, especially in places like Multnomah County.
Yep.
And a story breaking this morning that the Multnomah County Health Department is unable to track down tens of thousands of dollars of missing gift cards valuing about $150,000 between 22 and 25. And I'm just sitting here going, well, isn't that par for the course? Here's this money. They hand out gift cards to people for whatever they want to buy. And then now they can't literally find, I think the numbers was like 630 of them, you know, were issued, and about 130 of them can't be located. $150,000 on 130 gift cards? That's $1,000 a gift card or more.
Right. Now, gift cards, they have like serial numbers on them or some kind of tracking number. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had the wherewithal and really cared, that'll be the thing. Do they track those? Do they want to find out where they went? Are they going to hold somebody responsible, whether it was an employee or somebody handing them out and not keeping track of it? If they really are serious about finding out where they went, that's the first step they should take, is find out where they're being cashed in.
Yeah, well, that would be almost too simple. The fact that they're literally saying, hands up in the air, we can't find them. So going forward, we're going to have a better way to track. We're in the digital age. Each and every one of those gift cards has their own individualized code. You can figure out where they were used at.
Exactly.
If we wanted to. If you wanted to, homeless industrial complex, if you wanted to.
Right. Again, not stupid, not ridiculous, not dumb. And then again, coming down, and this is going to be Oregon centric as well. I think Portland, Maine is doing that, but now the Portland City Council is looking at exploring whether to impose a fee for long-term vacancies for businesses, homes, and apartments. So if you're a landlord in PDX in Multnomah County, and you are having a hard time renting your high rise, your strip mall, your home, the city of Portland doesn't want to help out and make it easy because everything, all the decisions and choices have made it harder now, but because you can't do that, we're going to slap another fee on you, and you're going to sit there and go, please, sir, can I have another? And you're going to take it.
Well, I mean, I look at what we know Portland has tried to do is impose fees and fines on the owner of the ICE facility in Portland. How will that be translated to other businesses once the ICE facility is no longer their primary focus, and they're finding ways to now find every building in that, city, if they're not reaching all sorts of landmarks that, arbitrary landmarks that the city council puts together.
Right. And so, you look at this, and normal people with rational brains look at this and go, what's the benefit of doing this? This is like a stick approach. You usually get people with the carrot, not the stick. So this is more of a stick, another beating, a board over the head for these people who are trying the best they can. My fear with this is you're going to reach a point, especially if you do want to get out, that you're not going to be able to sell after a while. If you can't rent it right now, it's going to be harder to sell it right now. What do we have? Jeff Reynolds was talking about, like, Big Pink sold for 2/3 of what it was worth just five years ago.
Yeah, I think it's even less.
Something
than
like that.
That.
I'm paraphrasing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and look, we talked a couple weeks ago about the numbers of people leaving Multnomah County, and yet the surrounding counties all have a positive movement to them. I mean, not great, but, Clackamas County, Washoe County, Marion County all had an increase in population, while Multnomah County, it was double digits, 20% of the people that were living there have moved out in the last 5 years.
Right. And there's a story about, let's be concerned about flimsy outdoor dining tents that might be a tripping hazard. Okay.
Well,
yeah, that's really important, other than the poop obstacle fest that you have to go through. And, you got to play like hopscotch around dirty needles and poop. But no. We'll worry about the flimsy tent.
But don't worry, we got the Trailblazers and the Portland Fire are going to be playing basketball right in there. So, come on out and enjoy the landmines on your way to the basketball arena.
I love one of this. This was a post on my page. These people have clearly never taken an econ class, a psychology class, or an accounting class. Apparently, the only class they took was a Marxism class. And I wrote back, yes, and clearly they passed that with flying colors. They get that. They know that. So, all right, let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
Can we leave Earth again? We should leave Earth again.
At this point,
you
can only laugh about what we're
doing. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. It's just crazy. All right. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. I've had this on show prep for a while, and I want to get to this because, again, this kind of circles back to trusting your gut, but at a broader scale. Our friend Werner Reschke, Representative Werner Reschke, had this article. I posted it on his blog site, WernerForOregon.com. A failing state, Oregon. And the first paragraph, without reading the rest of this article, you may already know in your gut the subject line is true. Scientists are continuing to better understand the link between our guts and our brains. Moreover, how intuition, the ability to know something is true before all the facts are available, is part of that same system. So this is just kind of, a little hat tip back to how we opened the show with that mom who's getting, pushback for trying to help other moms because she had a gut feeling. And I trust my gut feelings.
Well, I just sit here and go, let's look at nature. When we have a forest fire, the first people or the first creatures to evacuate are the wildlife. When we have an earthquake, I remember I was up in Seattle when they had the one in 97, 98, whenever
93,
that was.
Spring break quake.
Well, there was one a few years later because I was 21 or 22. So it had to be around 2000. Literally all of a sudden everything went eerily quiet. The birds stopped chirping and everything else. And then all of a sudden you felt the shake, and I'm going, animals trust their guts. Maybe we should too.
You will never find a rabbit being worried about being rude to the fox.
Uh-huh.
Ever. Yep. Ever, ever, ever. So this is sort of a broader pullback out at looking at the whole state. Oregon is a failing state. There, I said it, quoting from the article. You don't need to see all the data to know it's true. In your gut, you know Oregon has been on the wrong path for quite some time. And he says, you know, Oregon is not alone. California, Washington, which folks that don't live there, the cows, which I hate. I find that offensive. Cows. But anyway, he talks about the population program. We all remember Oregon Governor Tom McCall, who was famous for encouraging people to visit but not move here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, they're taking up on it, but a lot of people came over here. Portlandia, I love that show, and it was weird. It was like where, you know, it was like harkening back to the 90s where sort of like millennials go to retire. It was a funny show. Portland's not weird anymore. It's just creepy and gross now. And so you've got a population problem where it's you got a lot of people leaving. We're not birthing our way out of it. And but once people visited and they saw how beautiful it is and how affordable, it was booming for a while. That's mm-hmm. not the case anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I spent time living in Central Oregon, and from the point I moved there to the point I moved out, the population growth was astronomical. And I'm sitting there going, you know, my first time, you know, going from one end of town to the other took me all of 15 minutes. And the next, you know, by the time 10 years later moving to Salem, it took me 45 minutes to do the same drive. And it's just like when this population moves, Oregon became a massive destination for the nature, for business, for everything else for a period of time. And now we've swung the pendulum so far the other way that it's becoming, you know, nature and other things aren't enough to keep people here.
You had startups. I remember the high tech boom in the early 80s. I remember I was working at, G.I. Joe's. Mm-hmm. I was working at retail in G.I. Joe's. And then Soltech Silicon came to town. And all of a sudden it worked in conjunction with Shemeketa Community College. And it trained up a workforce. And so you had a lot of professionals come in. You had a local workforce that was trained up in, you know, silicon technology and working there. I worked there for years. And you don't really have that anymore, because what you've got now, he's saying the number, you know, it grew. COVID then came in. COVID changed everything. And then everything started stagnating. And now you've got a massive growth in spending on human services. So you don't have people really adding to the economy. You don't have people building businesses here because it's not friendly. As we talked about, it's very hostile to businesses. So now you've got an increased spending on that. You've got the tax base that's fleeing. Mm-hmm. So what do you, this is a recipe for a pretty toxic soup.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here going, and like we said, there's going to come a point where the exodus of Oregon just ramps up, because, you know, we're one of the spendiest states in the nation. We are one of the most overly taxed. Mm-hmm. This tax referendum that we'll be voting on in a little over a month, mm-hmm. if that thing passes, I can't imagine businesses trying to operate and people trying to go about their daily lives in an even more unaffordable way.
Absolutely. So, Rep Reschke put some numbers out here. He said, just take a look at some glaring examples of how Oregon state government has allocated spending your tax dollars over the next 2 years. $1 billion on healthcare for non-citizens, $320 million for pay raises for state employees, $300 million on incarceration costs for non-citizens, $180 million on drug treatment programs, and $77 million for DEI employees and programs. You okay with that?
I'm not a big fan. I can't imagine any of those are going to help me and my family afford to live here.
Nope. No. And then you've got all the climate crap coming down, you know, which fake. You know, spending money on, we're going to make it go away if we spend billions of dollars and make your life basically hell and uncomfortable.
Didn't we in this day in history in 1857 have snowfall in every state of the nation?
Well, yeah, that was before we started. Do we want global warming? Climate, do you want snow in Hawaii?
Right now, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing, but I'm sitting here going, but they'll just change the language. It will be, you know, global warming. Now it's climate change. Now it's the new ice age. I mean, whatever the you know, soup of the day is.
And all of those people out there screaming and yelling and their hairs on fire and shaming you and wagging their fingers at you have been wrong about everything every single time. Wow. Al Gore. What's his name? The population bomb guy. He's mm-hmm. been wrong about everything. And millions of people died because of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of how many times the end of the world has come and gone in just my lifetime.
But Greta said so. She said we had 12 years. AOC said we had 12 years. She said that 14 years ago. Greta, whatever. Who cares?
Well, and I just sit here and go, and I always love the most telling fact is the same people telling you this are the ones buying oceanfront properties.
Looking at you, Barack and Michelle. So he does posit that there is a fix. He says Oregon has been controlled by one political party for the last 20 years. And again, this is a call out in May and November. You have a right to fix this. These are all choices. These are policy decisions. So you're either okay with this. Stop worrying about the letter or whatever behind the name R, frankly, means research anymore. It's easier to tell the good guys from the bad guys, whatever. The ones who are looking out for your best interest and will put policies in there that will make your life easier. Again, no politician is going to save you, but you want people in there who are going to put policies in place that are at least not going to punish you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, and unfortunately everything right now is punishment. I mean, let's talk at the very top. Governor Kotek, every time we're going to do everything we can to do the opposite of whatever President Trump is doing at the national level. Well, take a venture, go out to Idaho, go out to Montana, go out to states to the east of us and see their gas prices and see the way lifestyles are lived and see everything else. And I'm just going, so we have a leadership that's literally sitting here saying, you voted for Trump to be president. We're going to punish Oregonians for that decision.
Yeah. So you think, look at the havoc that they're wreaking right now when they don't have control at the federal level. Can you imagine if they do, if the midterms, if they flip over and they take control of the House? It's looking, you know, potentially like they might. I want to kind of close out with a call to action because there's a lot. The biggest voting block in Oregon is the NABs, the non-affiliated voters. I'm really going to suggest, and a number of other people are suggesting, pick a side. Pick a side. You want to say in the primary about who's going to be the candidate in the general election for the gubernatorial race, you need to be registered as a Republican. And I'm going to say register as a Republican. Mm-hmm. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, please do, because, you know, your opinion matters. And we want to build that momentum. I would love to see an overwhelming selection coming out of the May primary. I don't want a 20% winner. I want a 30, 40, 50% winner where you can sit here and say, the vast majority of Oregonians believe this person may be the one to turn us around and at least stop the death spiral for the time being.
Yes, and there are really five candidates. There are other I've got some numbers here real quick. I know we're running out of time, but you're looking at the top two, which are Dudley and Drazen. You're in the millions. You really need in the millions. Next, third in line is Ed Deal at 61,000. These are about 5 days old, so I'm sure reporting or star reporting is there, followed up by Daniel Bethel with about 10 grand, David Medina with about 3.5, and then that's it, really. The rest of them, the money, it's sad to say, it's about money. Mm-hmm. It is about money, and it's about name recognition. And the other thing on your campaign signs, don't put your picture on it. Put your name on it. Put your name, put your last name on it in big, bold letters. That's what people are going to be voting for, is the name.
Yeah, because and when you pull out that ballot, you're not seeing a picture. You're seeing a name. Make sure you're seeing remember the name.
Yeah, don't waste your money on putting your picture. You're not a realtor. You're a candidate.
That's right. You want their vote, not their house. Come on, just let's go. We need it. I mean, we need to see a change of direction because for the average Oregonian, how long can you hold on as we continue down this direction?
What have you got to lose if you're a non-affiliated, even if you're a Democrat at this point? We've had 40 years of this. It's time to make a change. This is the opportunity to do it. And there's some great candidates out there. Of those five that I listed, every single one of them would be great. Would be better than what's there now, certainly.
Well, and that goes right back to the idea of, you know, I'm not going to vote because I don't agree 100%. I'm going, but you agree with the opposite 0%. So.
Exactly. Exactly. On that note, that's it for us today, everybody. Go out, enjoy the day. We will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.